You're listening to the Board Game Snobs podcast, a ridiculous podcast with ridiculous hosts that discuss ridiculous things. And any mention of board games is purely coincidental. And so, without further ado, and with a heavy dollop of shame and embarrassment on my part, I give you the Board Game Snobs.
And welcome to the Board Game
Snobs. Wait a minute, you're supposed to say go. I said go. I didn't mean it.
This is episode 299. This is Gabby of the Board Game Snobs. With me today is Jerry of the Board Game Snobs.
This is Jerry.
Episode 299, episode 300 coming up. We have special guests coming on the episode.
Can we say who the special guests are?
I mean, it's going to be Mike and Dan of the Spobo and Richard Simpson.
Dick Simpson.
I think it's going to be a fun time.
I have a problem. Because
what is your problem?
We just recorded episode 300.
Jerry! I'll bite the spot in the seat.
And now we're doing 299.
It's a reverse of risky.
I can't handle it.
You can't handle it.
I
got one question, one thing to ask of you. Don't act like we just recorded 300.
But we did.
And the first thing you did is say, we recorded 300. Okay. But we're not going to acknowledge it. We're going to act like it's in the future.
In the year 2000.
This is a double reverse episode. This is episode 299.
Do you remember that? Conan O'Brien.
Yes, I remember.
He used to do this skit where he'd go.
They hold their flashlights up to their faces. Yes, I remember that. I remember that very vividly.
And then they would say something that was funny about the year 2000.
I remember that.
That was a great skit. Not my favorite Conan O'Brien skit. Guess what my favorite Conan O'Brien skit was?
I don't know.
It's when he would pull the lever and it would show a random scene from Walker, Texas Ranger. Because I love Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Because Walker, Texas Ranger was such a poorly produced TV series. Because Walker, who could, let's just be honest, could kick like nobody's business, right? He do that little tornado kick,
roundhouse
kiss. He shot a gun like somebody who had the palsy. He would shoot down from here, like he'd hold that Colt 45 revolver that he had, and he would shoot down like this. I'd never seen a person fire a gun like this. He also, the scenes in Walker, Texas Ranger were amazing. Some of them were highly inappropriate. I remember clearly one about who was the kid that saw dead people? Osmond. Not Osborne. Haley. Joel Osborne. Who, unfortunately, because back in the 90s, this was a thing, he had AIDS. He got AIDS from something. And that was somehow, I don't even remember what the scene was, but he had AIDS. And it was in.
And how you doing, little partner?
Fine. And it's little visitor now. Adewoyoli is how you say it in Cherokee.
Oh, well, pardon my French, but I'll be.
Walker told me I have AIDS.
That. Okay. So, for instance, as a father of children, I can say that is the most accurate scene of a child ever. Because that's when, like, I remember one of my kids, who I won't name, one time doing that to me in a, not my kids don't have AIDS, but in a scene where I'm talking to somebody, my kids are talking, and they go, I'm adopted. That was insane for some reason at the time to me.
They just shot it out there.
But you know what? That's how it should be. You should just shoot it out there.
I mean, what's the secret?
Who cares?
Who cares?
I don't care that Haley Joel Osment has AIDS and
Walker.
It's
not going to affect my opinion of him.
He sees dead people. I don't care. Who cares? That's what I'm saying.
Which would be more shocking to you? That you can see dead people or that you have AIDS?
Dead people. Because
definitely,
I have taken care of
good comparison.
I wasn't going to call you out on that. What a poor comparison that was. What do you think? Somebody who has actually danced with aliens or somebody who drives a Toyota Corolla? It's like, Gabby. But you know what? You see what I did there? I didn't call you out. That's what I like about you. The fact is that whole scene was written by a person. There was a writer who got paid money to write those lines and a director who got paid to direct those lines and an editor who edited that scene that way.
So much work into the phrase.
But yet, here in our podcast,
small child says, I have AIDS.
We have things take place, such as on our 300 podcast, which hasn't taken place.
No.
But yet, I can rest assured that you, as the producer
Chief editor
of this podcast,
have a lot of work to do.
Will Good not God. Allow the awful things that Richard Simpson and Mike DeLisio.
It's going to be a lot of work.
And I said nothing.
It's a lot. You said
I was
everything.
Very nice.
You were very nice.
You know why?
You're very complimentary.
Because I have changed
Richard, especially.
I love. If you haven't figured it out, I love Richard. I love Dan. Mike makes me mad.
I love the three of them, and we invited others on the show that were unable to make it, unfortunately.
But we didn't love them. Who did we invite? I invited Ben.
I invited Mark. Mark had a wedding to attend.
Oh, Ben, congratulations, Mark. Making her an honest woman, finally.
It wasn't his wedding. It was just a friend's wedding.
Is Mark married?
I don't believe so. I don't know.
Did you hear that, ladies?
I don't believe so. Mark? I believe he has someone. I don't know.
Becerra, how do you say his last name?
Besada?
Besada. He's single. He is the, quite frankly, the best tank of all the tanks. And he's single. That shouldn't be all you need to know.
You've thrown me off track.
BoardGameSnobs@gmail.com.
Please email us. Please feel free to.
If you're a single female.
I need to say this. Please feel free to sign up for our Patreon. We have used some funds here recently to obtain tickets to BGG.
We did.
Which will provide content.
Oh, content!
We use money every week to provide the transcript. You know what I found transcripts are good for?
What are they? Nothing.
No.
Whoa! What is it good for?
They're good for, supposedly, your SEO, but also...
Statistical... Eradication, I don't know what SEO stands for. Search engine optimization. I pulled that from the back of my brain, just like that.
But also, whoever you listen to, you can just pull up the transcript and just search.
And nobody does that.
Well, you can do it on Apple for sure.
Nobody does that.
I do it all the time.
I clap back at you.
I do all the time.
You do not.
The clapping.
I'm sorry.
Hey, do you... You remind me of a
clap
comedian.
Traps?
There's a comedian I just watched.
Which one? I hit Netflix. My elbow. I hit my funny bone.
Oh, good. We need it. We need it at this time.
You know who's good at words?
Comedy blip.
Do you know who's good at words?
Who's good at words?
I'm not even going to say his name out loud, but you know my favorite person in board game podcasting. You know Dan Hughes is number three. Who's number one?
Richard Simpson.
No, he's number two. Who's number one?
Ben Maddox
and his friend Steve
Cyric.
They use Cyric? Words.
Oh, there. Ben's got to use
insane.
He has a thesaurus and a dictionary that he downloads before everything he posts.
I wish I was as wordy as Ben Maddox. I will never be. Do you know why? Because I'm not. Well,
Number one, you don't have the dedication. Number two, you don't have the. I'm not going to say intelligence.
I'm not European.
You don't have the accent.
Yes, he has a very clear linguistical way.
You ever notice how much he gesticulates in his videos?
He does it. He does.
Very, very gesticulation.
I will watch his videos on mute.
And I can't like stop watching his hands.
I won't lie. I will watch Ben Maddox's videos on
mute. He just shakes. Like, he'll take both hands and he just throws them both forward.
Throws those emotions into you.
He's just like, and he's like so forceful. But what about like love?
Is there a delicate side of Ben Maddox?
Is there a delicate side? That's a good question. Can he be delicate and loving? If only he would come on our show.
He ignored us for
300.
But we've been on his
soon to be aired.
No, listen. Ben has been busy.
He's busy for
Him
and Steve.
I became the monthly. If you listen to his previous podcast on their hashtag channel, I was the monthly poster. I won.
What did you say?
He did a very rogue impersonation of me.
And he made fun of you. Say it.
He did. It accentuated my more southern.
I don't even think you're that southern.
I don't think so either. But apparently so. People who live in Germany.
People in the south don't know people that sound from the south sound southern.
Yes, apparently. And it didn't hurt my feelings.
You sound all right to me.
But Steve thought I was worthy of winning.
Thank you, Steve.
Because the question.
Maybe we should, you know what? Just ignore Ben. Let's just have Steve on the show.
Steve is okay. Steve, that the question was, have you changed as a gamer? And I have changed, but I haven't changed. I didn't admit that in the Discord because I wouldn't admit such a thing.
I changed as a gamer and you derided me. Derogatory comments.
Bring it up. Why don't you? But I and myself as a gamer have also changed because I realized that deep down, my reason for gaming is not what I thought it was.
Well, so then now we need to know what was your original thought and what's your present thought.
My original thought was that I gained because I enjoyed the intellectual side of gaming. And then I found out that gaming is very just
not that stimulating.
Not that it is stimulating, but it's also very, I can get it other places. You literally can get without the tactile feel the same intellectual stimulation from video games or other media. I found that I'm not two things that I require. One, I do require that tactile feel of gaming. And two, I require the interaction with people. I am not great at interacting with people. And gaming allows me to have that, avenue. And there's one instance for which I will recount to you because you weren't there at BGG, last BGG that occurred when we were gaming a certain game. I can't even remember it. It was a terrible game where Christian and his friend, whose name now leaves me.
John.
And the one for which I love.
Ryan.
Is that his name? I can't remember his name.
Ryan Maxwell?
No, the other one Geoff. The other one that was there wasn't Geoff. I love Geoff.
We have several fans you love. You're not narrowing it down.
The one that we didn't know that showed up, I can't remember his name. I feel so ashamed right now. The bald guy that taught, you don't even remember him.
He showed up with in the group.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
But he wasn't like a listener.
I loved him with a passion.
Yeah, I can't remember his name now.
And I will have to look it up afterwards. I feel actual shame. Please insert his name into this podcast, right?
Because he like did editing and stuff on
here.
Brian Blankenstein, Spirit Island.
He edited the rule book of Spirit Island. My course of this story is that I read the rule book of this particular game to them out loud to teach them this stupid game that we shouldn't have been playing because nobody was interested in. But for some reason, I decided to read this rule book in a very comedic way, and it made the game a little bit more lively, and we played the game, and I think we actually enjoyed the game. I don't know, Christian, did you enjoy the game? I don't know. Well, maybe we did. But the fact is that in that moment, I realized I don't game because I enjoy the stimulation of the puzzle that's being presented towards me, but rather I just enjoy being around people. And I would never admit that before then, because in my mind, I always kind of felt like I didn't like being around people. But the truth is that I do. I really do.
So, as we have talked about previously, and we'll talk about in episode 300, that the board game snobs, Jerry and I and Enrique, haven't had the opportunity in the last year or so to replay as many games together as we would like, just because of
life.
Yeah. So, that you would think, okay, if you're a gamer, you want to play games solo. I take that back. I've played Wingspan solo on BGA, which is fine.
And I want to talk about that here in a moment.
But the solo experience for me, I don't know. Whenever I play, I enjoy. But it's kind of one of those things like I have to force myself to break out the board game, set it up, and play it solo. And when I do play it, I do enjoy it. But I'm the same as you. I enjoy playing with you. I enjoy playing with Enrique. I enjoy playing with whoever.
Everybody in place
enjoys playing. I enjoy playing socially. I enjoy gaming for the social aspect. I've discovered in this last year, since I've played virtually zero games solo, that's the reason I like playing board games. BGA can provide a little of that. Async does not provide that because you just make your move and move on. But I was able to play a couple games of Sky Team with Ryan. But you can play on BGA. You can, if you're a premium member, you can push a little microphone. And if you're set up for podcasting, which many people are, because there's so many board game podcasts out there,
then they all can, suck.
You can like push, you can push a little microphone. You can talk to each other over the microphone if you're a premium member. So that's a nice little effect they have. But there is nothing that replaces playing board games in person with people that you enjoy playing with and having a good time.
Amen. And so my reason for this, bringing up this particular topic, was one, not only did it change my perception of games, but I also have set myself a goal in terms of solo games, which I have plenty, which I appreciate the puzzle that a lot of solo games present. I've made a list. I've rearranged my massive shelf to be able to now glance upon and see the solo games and have challenged myself with playing very specific solo games, which I'm going to do as well. Because now I'm going to hear this on the podcast and it will now jog my memory that I've said it out loud. And so thus, people will be expecting me to do it. To not only record various spots in my little Kalex shelf of various games I have in there, but what they are, why I enjoy them, and if I have played them, and post them to our Patreon members as well as to later, eventually, a Facebook. So, with this, you're holding up fingers.
Along those lines of... you had mentioned something in a Facebook post about for board game conventions, you've been doing them wrong and that you want to play games on the shelf of shame, as being the people say, instead of going to a con and trying to read the rules in a rowdy room or taking them up to the room and learning them. Rather, how about you just learn right. a game on the shelf of shame? You may get into this later, but what I was going to get to was, I haven't been playing many games. I've been playing a lot Async on BGA, uh-huh. which I'm not a fan of, but I have enjoyed them, but I suck at Async. God, I suck at Async. But I have played a few, and one thing I did want to do was do the old play through all of my games one more time. So I've tried to dedicate a shelf on these cubicles of, okay, we're going to play these, we're going to play these. So on this one, we have played Merv recently. We have played Barony recently. I have played King is Dead and Barony, and we played Raw recently. Instead of purchasing new games, which we really don't have time to play, I want to go through our shelves of the games we have and we know we love. And just make time to play them again.
Exactly.
Lorenzo, Gates of Loyang, Shogun. We have so many games we've played once or twice or whatever. Crescent City Cargo, we've played a few times like that. Chaos Order, enjoyed that tremendously. It's on our shelf. Why not take the games you enjoy and you know you do and play them again? So that's kind of been my personal go. Whether or not it's with you, there's a few other people that are around me, you know them, Frankie and Mike and Crystal.
They all suck.
I would like to if I can't play Except them with Crystal. You, I want to play all the games we have and just enjoy them again.
So I have made a list. I did it this morning. And what this list is if you're familiar with my post on Facebook a few weeks back, I made this comment that I feel like I've been going to conventions wrong. Because when we go to these conventions, I'm now tasked with learning a game and trying to teach it Agabi. And I realize that that puts me in a foul mood. And it's because, one, I'm not prepared. Two, I feel bad when I teach a game. And I don't, I'm having to learn it and teach it at the same time. And I feel like I'm doing a disservice. And it comes across as if I'm trying to forcibly make you understand a game when really I don't understand the game because I haven't played it. And it makes me even angrier when I teach something that's now I find out later is wrong. I can't handle that. And so the simple solution to this would be for me to learn the games prior to going to this convention. So feel like I need to take a moment here. I will pause here for a moment to say that the first week in May, I'm having my surgery, having a tumor removed. Number one, I'm not going to die. Number two, if I do die,
sure.
If I do die, I want it known that Richard Simpson had nothing to do with my death, but everybody else is a suspect.
Especially the doctors?
Yes. Two.
Have they given you like a percentage?
It's fine. Okay. And I'll be fine. I literally.
It'll be awful if we're like joking about this.
And no,
like,
we can learn
3 weeks from now.
Do you know if I'm
like, I'm like on here. Hey, buddy. I have a heart update.
It would just be you crying, which would be. You just have to have Enrique get on and announce it. But I'm not going to die. I'll be perfectly fine.
Okay.
And I will probably feel like crap for a week. But during that week, that's when I promise I'm going to be filming my shelf and putting out my little goofy videos as a way of saying, I'm fine. I'll be okay. It's the first week of work I've had in years. Either way, during that time, I'm also going to be learning the games for which I want to take to BGG Spring and play with those that will be at BGG Spring. Tim, which I have an issue with Tim Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Timothy Bowers. I don't like names that can be shortened.
But that's almost every name.
No, it's not. Because traditionally, there's certain names that are just too short to shorten, or they're just not that purposeful. But like Dan. Timothy. Dan, we say it's Tim.
Daniel is Dan.
It is Dan. Tim is Timothy. Matt is Matthew.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about that because it's like I would insist on my name being complete. Tim does not.
Well, I'm of the same ilk as you. If I was to have a child and I was to name them, and although
procreate.
I was going to.
That would require procreation.
Well, I'm holding off for a future in which
you can procreate.
The aliens have taken over our bodies and the world is at peace.
And you can procreate.
And I can procreate. I can procreate.
I'm sure you can.
I think.
I have no idea.
I never had my
stuff checked. I've never questioned whether or not you're impotent. I
look like tadpoles, right?
I suspect you're potent.
A little tadpoles.
Please continue.
So, if I was to have a child, I would name him Colorado Moraga. That's my first one.
That is a freaking awesome name.
I would love to name
him. That is a great name. I want you to know. That later, I will deny that name as being great. I will fight you and say, that's stupid, Gabi. But Colorado Moraga is quite possibly the greatest name I have ever heard.
I've been thinking about it for quite some time.
OMG. Continue, please.
I mean, it's derivative from a John Wayne film.
Yes.
And I've always liked that since I was a child, and it brings me closer to my father.
If there's a twin, it's Mississippi Moraga.
Mississippi. Also, another John Wayne film.
Yes!
Jerry is with me.
This is the Jerry greatest thing. Gina, if you're listening.
This may be the one time that me and Jerry have connected on something that's no doubt through our fathers.
Time. It took 299 episodes, but we have finally agreed.
Rio Bravo and El Dorado have come together and made my perfect children's names. Oh my makes me happy that you know those.
That's the greatest name ever.
It makes me happy you know that.
Okay, keep going.
So that would be the name of my children. Okay. So there's no shortening of those.
Colorado.
But if I was to have further children beyond that, I've always felt, as have you, and as has my wife, if you're going to name your children, name them what they are going to be called.
There are manly names. There are adult names. There are child names. And so a lot of times people will name their child a name that is a child name. And it's not an adult name.
You have an example.
So like, I'm trying to think of a name off the top of my head.
I mean, Dakota. Pretty much.
Do you know any adults named Dakota?
I knew kids named Dakota I went to school with.
They're all dead.
That's but, why you never. But
they would be shortened to Cody.
I have never.
Or Dak Prescott. I think he's a Dakota Prescott.
I have never met an adult who's told me that their name is Dakota.
I went to school with a Dakota Cunningham.
But the Simpsons did a joke on one episode where the teacher's like calling roll in kindergarten and they're like, Tyler, Dakota, Dakota, Dakota. Because everybody for some reason named their kid Dakota in the 90s. For some reason, because they've discovered this name and thought
it's been a TV show or something. I'm unaware of.
It was a Simpsons. You know the Simpsons.
Yeah, I know the Simpsons.
It was the Simpsons.
It was the Simpsons.
Okay, I'm just.
So they're referencing themselves in this episode.
Yeah, they did. They just referenced Simpsons. Reference themselves often, but it was just a weird thing where people will name their kids something that's obviously this is not like Jack. Mm-hmm. I named Jack Jack because he was named after my dad's. Uncle, and Jack is a solid name. It's not Jackson. It's not J-X-X-X-O-N-X. It's Jack. It's Jack because Jack is a manly name.
Agreed.
It's a name. The other name I wanted that I desperately wanted, but thank you,
Bruno
Mars, for ruining it. I wanted to name him Bruno.
Ruin it.
I wanted because my wife said, "Oh, that's a few people will thank your name after Bruno." You know what my wife wanted?
It's Popeye.
Do you know what my wife wanted?
Bluto.
Bluto. Do you know what my wife wanted to name him? Micah. I don't like that.
No. So basically, anything you name your child beyond one syllable can be shortened.
It can, but is it appropriate? No. I'll answer that for you. That was that, as you will find in episode 300, there are certain questions that are rhetorical that I feel stupid for answering. Thank you, Mike Delisio.
But just like Michael, Micah, Mike, Gerald would be. What's stupid about Gerald is people shorten it to Jerry. But most names can be shortened to one syllable. We have Bubba. Here's the thing: me and my wife do. Bubba,
I really and his don't want to know.
Bubba and his wife Amy.
Yes,
we call them Bubs and Ames. Paige is actually one syllable.
And you call her Chardet.
I call her Chardet.
Which is stupid.
I don't know.
Everything because, you do in your
well,
house.
Here's the thing with some familial groups.
Uh-huh.
Is they will name you that has, your nickname has nothing to do at all with your Christian birthright name.
Right. I had a nickname when I was on the fire department. It was given to me by the fire chief at the time. It stuck. For some weird reason, because he would give people nicknames. He gave me this nickname for two reasons. One, I always dressed in a Class A uniform, meaning that if everybody else was just wearing their work uniform, I always dressed slightly better than everybody else. And I was uptight. I was a young man. I was trying to impress. And I rarely, surprisingly to you, spoke. I would only get on my soapbox and give a sermon at times. So it was this weird thing of I would rarely talk about anything and then get upset about something and then out comes the soapbox. And do you know what my nickname is that to me is so endearing?
Soapbox Jerry?
No, had nothing. It was Reverend.
Reverend Blue Jeans.
Yes, he just said Reverend. He said it's the Reverend Baker. It's Reverend. And he said, the Reverend's out there talking to the staff about, because I would get upset about something, be quiet about it, and then one day decide, listen, here's, y'all are doing this wrong, and I would just automatically begin speaking, and because I rarely spoke, people listened, and it was like I would give a sermon. And he joked one time, Jerry's out there giving one of his sermons. There's Reverend Baker. And he would, that was just his thing. And I love that nickname for two reasons. One, that's a cool nickname. Two, when I get back into board gaming, I immediately buy Phantom Leader, the DVG airplane, basically Top Gun in the box game. And one of the call signs of the planes is Reverend. That automatically became my plane. And so it was just a thing. So there's a difference between shortening somebody's name. I have no idea where I'm going with the story. And nicknames. Either way, my point being about games, and I'm going to transition to this because it seems like we're going on long. I've made a list.
Of what? Names?
No, of games that rhymes with names. Of games that I want to play. Because on my post on Facebook, I made this rant about how irritating it is for me to go to BGG, have to learn a game, have to teach it, and feel upset about the fact that I'm not teaching the game correctly. Instead, I would much rather spend my time with games that are on my shelf of shame, that are games that I either haven't played in a long, 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 long time, or games,
Star Wars Rebellion.
Games that I haven't played at all.
Okay, as of this podcast, and I should have, a couple weeks ago.
I apologize for not telling you ahead of time.
I was like, that is a sensible idea, and I agree with that idea. So because sensible. Here's the thing.
It makes as me a, seem like a sensible a, person.
But what the pressure is, and you agree, the pressure is with a board game podcast. When we go to BGG, spring or proper?
Proper.
We want to play The Hotness, which I do. Which we want to play The Hotness.
Which we do.
And we played Last Light. And we talked about that.
Yes.
But they had Evacuation. They had the bug game, the wasp, the bee.
We didn't get space Apirium.
Apiary.
APR.
They had
That's
those.
My cat's name.
So it's like you feel this pressure to play these hot games that aren't really out yet. Not everybody has access to them and discuss them for them clicks. However,
we don't need them clicks.
We don't need them, and we don't care anymore.
Patreoners.
We dear Patreoners, we love you. Please do not give up on us. We love you, and your money has funded board game purchases. They funded me personally going to BGG spring and proper. Please do not, and if you would like to join our Patreon, links in the show notes.
Yeah, we have show notes now.
Just give us a few dollars. And that will enable me to go to the next BG because I don't have the money to go on my own.
Yes.
So we have purchased tickets to BGG Spring. And of this year, we're going to BGG Proper as well.
We've already
purchased our tickets.
This is the first time ever we've done that.
Already at this point in time, we're like, we are going.
We've never done that. We generally wait till the last minute and then somehow something happens. The board game gods smile upon ye.
And I understand along the way, look, I'm the stats guy. I look at Patreon. There's ebbs and flows. We've lost some ebbs.
Well, we love that flow. Some flows. We love you, Flo.
And, you know, if
Flo's the name of the person that's on the insurance commercials.
I get it.
The one that's very attractive. But if you get online to look her up, she is very attractive.
If you can
look up Flo, she's very attractive.
Jerry, I'm trying to get us some money right now.
I am sorry.
If you can toss us a few dollars, you know what's really golden is those $20 members.
Like Flo is very attractive.
Like if you can toss us a $25 member, man, that's fantastic because that helps us buy some games. And really, it helps us to go to BGG and to go bowling with Ryan, and then we get to talk about going bowling with Ryan. But if you can, link in the show notes to our Patreon. Link to our show notes of anything you want to know about us.
Are you done shilling like a villain?
I have to shill, but I will now veal.
Okay. So I've made a impromptu list this morning while I was drinking my not coffee. Drink that mushroom coffee that's not coffee anymore.
Rise?
No, Daily Dose.
Rise is the big one.
I've never heard of it.
R-Y-Z-E.
No, don't
you
use that.
You cannot avoid it on Instagram. It's all over the place.
I don't have Instagram. I have YouTube. And then YouTube, Daily Dose, and that mud water are the two. But I've researched it, and I do. They're not a sponsor or anything. But I do like.
We will take them.
I do like the Daily Dose simply because, one, it's not bad. It's fine. And I did notice that it did replace coffee for me.
In what way does... Okay, so... let me ask you this. Taste and alertness.
Okay. Taste has... you will never... And I'm telling you this right now to everybody who says otherwise. You will never beat coffee. Coffee is the end-all, be-all of taste, of texture, of that crema. Mm-hmm. Putting a little bit of sugar, a little bit of cream, mm-hmm. some whether it's on lock, cappuccino, I don't care.
I have become a cold brew
listen,
lover.
When you say, if you are a person that says, this is better than coffee, or this is just like coffee, you sound like an idiot, and all you're telling me is that you married your cousin.
In my old age, I have learned to enjoy and appreciate cold brew because it takes out the bitterness.
If you can drink black coffee. Here's the thing, though. Once you get to where you can drink that bitterness, that black coffee, that you do not understand the hatred you have in your heart. Because I drink black coffee. When I wake up in the morning and I make that French press and I drink that coffee and I'm sitting there going, I put too many grounds in this. This coffee is really strong and it's really bitter. And I'm just sitting there drinking it.
My bones.
And I'm going, you know what?
I'm going to conquer the world.
I don't care.
I want to overthrow my government today.
This is what Navy SEALs drink.
It's really like I can drink some coffee. What's weird for me is caffeine hits me different. Like I can drink it at certain times,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, I'm going to overthrow my government today.
Can I bring up something? It's so super weird that you bring that up. Do you know that's why the French shut down coffee shop?
Really?
Yes, for exactly that reason.
They're going to overthrow the government,
and they did. So the reason what happened is back in the day, what would people
caffeine
do?
Is strong.
They loved coffee. They would go to coffee shops. You would drink that coffee, and it was a normal thing that you would sit and socialize with mm-hmm. people. So as you would sit down and drink that coffee, you're waking up, you're having this sense of,
it's like, let us conquer the world.
And that's really legitimately where it came from. And they found out that
today we take over the world.
The vast majority, this is a weird thing. They suspect that the vast majority of old-timey terrorist acts were surmised in coffee shops because people are sitting there, they're becoming simulated.
Terrorists, they kind of like brought it down a notch.
Well, terrorism is just against your government. You're overthrowing terror. But that's what it was. And so that's what it was. So they were legitimately going around shutting down coffee shops. Look that up. You won't, but it doesn't matter. My listeners will.
I look up lots of stuff.
I don't know why I said that. That was stupid.
Mean.
Why did I do that?
I love Google Threads.
Google thread that. I know you will. I'm sorry.
You're not, though. You feel nothing about it.
No, that was the old Jerry
old Jerry reared his ugly head.
You're not going to look that up because you're stupid.
You're fat, stupid, ugly idiot.
All you do is sit around and edit this podcast.
Yes, exactly what I thought, and I'm sorry. But let me get back to my list.
Go ahead. And our list for the board games.
Listen, these are games that I want to play.
Let's get talking back to
with you.
Thank you.
These are games that I have in my possession that were sitting on my wall.
On your shelves, not my shelves.
I was drinking.
Not my / our shelves.
The reason I didn't list any of these is just because for two reasons. I don't remember them. Two, this is legitly. I have a shelf at Gabby's house. I come over here and look at this wall and go, oh, I have that.
Yeah, that's a good game. I don't have it. Yeah.
I have that. So, Sekigahara, this game right here, in case you've seen it, you can't see that far.
I have not seen that game ever in my life.
It is ranked number 7 in terms of war games, and it's ranked number 200 overall out of all board games. It's rated an 8 on BGG. It's defend or dispose of the Tokotomi hair by commanding the loyalty of feudal lords. It is a GMT game.
Oh, God.
Yeah, listen. Listen to me.
Go ahead.
Listen to me.
Go ahead.
I sound like Timothy Chalamet right there.
I have difficulty. Say listen to me.
Listen to me.
That was great. Did you
just come up with that?
Listen to me.
Swear to me.
Do not do that anymore. Because it makes me sound like we're talking it for listen to me.
Sekigahara
is the unification of Japan released in 2011. Anyways.
This is a two-player game only. And so this is a game that I feel like where I'm probably at some point in time this is one of my optional games where either I'm going to learn this and me and you are going to play it at some other time. So that was a good...
Is it a two-player game?
It's just two-player. Okay. So that's a game for which when I look at, because I have another game like, such as Command & Conquer, Napoleonics, another two-player block game.
I played the Command & Conquer games.
Right.
That's so, a two-player?
Command & Colors.
Oh, because the one I had was...
So, these are the games for which you have either played or haven't played that I think that at BGG we should probably play. So, these were all optional two-player games because there is an opportunity at some point in time. Me and you get together, I learn this game and play it, but these are games that require more people. Number one, it's a game we played many, 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 many years ago. I repurchased and sold it, Rex. It's a re-implementation of Dune.
That needs like six people, right?
Yes. And okay. So, Chad, Tim, Enrique, plus one, a great game.
Is Bubba coming to this one?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
So, there's one. Group. Rex, another one. Zaya, Legend of the Drift System.
Oh my God, I love that game.
What a great game that we've never, that we have.
And she is so big and epic, it's hard to get back
and
to.
And yet we have one of our greatest memories with Enrique flying into the sun. This game, we will never play this game again unless I sit down, learn it, and then say, who wants to play Zaya and take it to a board game convention? Another one, a game that I hold dear to my heart because I loved it. Not as a two-player game. It should be played in its traditional four-player game. 878 Vikings Invasions of England.
It's a good game.
I love that game. But having four people, because it's always us and the sun, we never quite get it done.
It's a good game.
And so thus, I rhymed right then. I'm a rapper.
Yes, I am. But why do I sound like an alien?
Not gonna be. 1,000 points a lot. I'm the governor of Texas.
What do you?
I love the Texas Rangers.
Turn that off. Turn it off. Where'd you get that sound modifier?
I had it the whole time. I just forgot
that it was on here. Don't mess with me.
Another one. Listen, DJ. I want to play Sid Meier's Civilization and New Dawn.
That is a good... God, see, what you're doing is reiterating to me what I find frustrating in the board game milieu.
Thank you, Dan.
There are so many good games already out there that people play, and they play them once, and then because of the onslaught of games... They want to play the hotness, but there's so many good games. Civilization was a fun, good game. I want to play it.
So that's why I'm proposing that I learn these games. I can give a generalized.
That's a lot to learn.
But I'm going to be out for a week. I'm going to be sitting and reading. I could set these games up and learn them, bring select ones to BGG, and then we just.
You need to limit yourself to like five.
So I'm going to put this out there for our listeners as well to make recommendations. Vote on which ones.
I would love to play Star Wars Rebellion again because we tried to play that again.
Absolutely.
But Jerry had the updated rules and we set it up, but it was beyond.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, it's a lot.
So, with that being said, and a reminder, Star Wars Rebellion can be played four players. You have one person playing the ground.
Yeah, but it's best at two.
It is best at two, but if you have four players...
Because your partner's just doing... it's like playing Pandemic with...
But listen to the thing, though. Having your partner, though, it's better because you do have somebody who can see your blind spots. It is... There's something about having a game where you're partnered up.
Okay.
Another game for which I have bought GMT Games... Highly respected, a game for which has been on people's number one list. It's rated number 88, number 70 is overall in strategy, 2010 Dominant Species. That has sat on my shelf.
You've had that forever.
I have learnt it. It's a 2 to 6 players. Why haven't we played it? Because I have not taken out the rule book and said, guess what? This is what we're doing. Well, there's one. Another one that shames me. Two of them, actually. Both Vital Lacerdas. Vinyas, which I learned and thought this is going to look really good, and Kanban, which I went, this is going to be good. Never made it to the table with you. There's no reason for that. So both of those games are on the docket. Another one for which I looked at, I bought, it's a newer rendition of it, but Spartacus, A Game of Blood and Treachery, fixed all the stuff from the old ones. It's a backstabby game, no pun intended. It's one that I desperately want to play. There's no reason why we shouldn't have that.
You made a list of what you want to do most.
I have them down. Here on our wall.
I've always wanted to play Dominant Species.
So here on our wall right now is what I would like to propose, because I've been staring at our wall. There has been games that have been set in my brain that have burnt in there, and there's five of them right here that I can glance and tell you. Number one, Die Marker. I love that game. That's I ranted and raved about that game. Another one that I played and thought, this is really good, but I need to play it again. And we did a video on it. We did a podcast on it, Predaporter. Another game that I was like, this is too good.
It was a one and done.
One and done. And so after that, we have...
Captains of the Gulf is one I want to play again.
Well, we've played that several times.
No, we played it once.
We did.
We played Crescent City Cargo several times. We played Captains of the Gulf once.
Okay. Distilled is Mr. Maddox. He loved that game. And if Maddox loves it, who's to say? Again, Archipelago, our longest running Shelf of Shame game, which we will not play unless we decide that we are going to do it. So that's number four. And the fifth, Trajan. Mm-hmm. I have it. Why in the world have we not played Trajan?
I also haven't played that.
Honorable mention, Onward to Venus. The fact is that I was going to, while I was here, make the quick list again to add on there, post out to Facebook and say, tell us what you think was the one that's going to hit. Like, vote on them.
You said, Distilled.
Yeah, I got that.
Archipelago, Predaporter, Die Marker, and Trajan. Go ahead and add, because these are games that we probably will not play here. They require me.
Trajan, Distilled, Archipelago, Predaporter, Die Marker.
And the reason I didn't add Onward to Venus is because I know that game. These games are games that I need to look over, read the rule book, and have a better understanding of. Go ahead and add Gaia Project onto that.
Yeah.
And
we attempted to play that, but just didn't go right.
So.
And there's so many games that we have
and
as
PAX
well.
Premier.
There's Papua.
PAX. But all these games, now listen, I didn't go over every game we haven't gotten to play.
Obviously not.
I just went games that, like, I know I'm not going to be able to sit down and learn in a quick succession. That they're games that these are games that require more than three people, more than likely to be fun, that are highly complicated, and that would require me to take them home, read them, learn them, and then know them so that I can teach them appropriately.
That's a lot for you to bear, my
dear
sir.
Well, the fact is I'm going to have a week off after I get this tumor removed.
Tumor.
And then, there you go. I'm fired up because
it's not a tumor.
When we go,
it is quite
it,
in
it,
fact
it's a tumor. These are games that I know we will not learn here. They require more prep. They're heavier games. For instance, we have Oceans set up right now. We'll learn Oceans. It's easy to play.
It's a 20-minute learn, according to Rodney on Watch Your Blood.
But like at the same time, these are games for which we desperately need to get off the shelf. We need to play. We need to have a better understanding of. And so that's why at conventions, when we run around checking out games, trying to learn them, I'm just done with that. I'm done with fighting with that and having to have.
Okay. All right.
And it's
Listen. I think that's a good idea.
All right. Well, that's what we're doing. And that's what we're going to do. And we look forward. If you're going to be at BGG Spring, send us an email.
This is going to come out on the date of, let's see here. This is going to come out on April 17th. Our episode 300 comes out on April 24th. If I can get all of that edited. And then within a few weeks, we will be at BGG Spring. So that'll be nice. That's going to do it for this episode.
Hey, at BGG Spring, we're going to be doing the Den of Wolves with Chad. I love Chad.
We're going to do Den of Wolves with Chad.
Tim will be there too.
Timothy Bowers.
I don't really know. His wife.
And Betsy.
Betsy will not. Betsy will. She'll be there, but she's not going to play Den of
Wolves. All right, Den of Wolves.
She said she's just going to play a game with you because she said you wouldn't be playing Den of Wolves because you don't like role-playing games.
I do not like Den of Wolves.
You and Betsy can go get a cappuccino.
A cappuccino?
Why? Stop it! Stop it! Turn my mic back on.
You're my son.
You want Why the, are you want doing that? One? Why? No, don't do that voice thing again. That's creepy.
It's creepy.
It's very creepy.
It sounds like the Silence of the Lambs.
It sounds...
No, it sounds like you're on LSD.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
That was not fun.
Until next time, I'm Gabby.
This is Jerry.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tolerating this episode of the Board Game Snobs. Stay classy. Thank you.